You're listening to the Matt Clark Report. Conservative talk for real patriots, because freedom is on the ballot. Here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good afternoon, patriots. Welcome to another episode of the Matt Clark Report. We're live here every single day right here on Patriot One News, 12 p.m. Eastern. We're also on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, everything you can think of, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the usual suspects. Today, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the situation down in Florida as Trump heads over to Miami on November 6th, just 2 days before the midterm elections. He's getting ready to do a big rally campaign for Senator Marco Rubio as they make a final push to keep Florida red. DeSantis is a done deal. Double-digit polling ahead of Charlie Crist, especially after the disaster that we saw the other night during the debates. But Marco Rubio, we really need to make a big push. Florida is our last stop. It's our last stop for freedom in America. I listened to Mark Levin the other night on Life, Liberty, and Levin. Mark Levin said it perfectly. He said it beautifully. Florida is the freest place in the United States of America. There is no other destination in this country that is freer than Florida. It's no longer a situation of, is the United States the freest country in the world? It's a matter of, where within the United States are we as Americans the freest? So it's no surprise that Trump's making a big final push, heading down to Miami. Big rally, huge rally, November 6th. Patriot One News will be streaming it, but so will Newsmax, Right Side Broadcasting. You better believe everybody will be broadcasting this event. The issue that a lot of Republicans face, however, with this event is that Governor DeSantis has not been invited. At least that's what the mainstream media is telling us. Do we know this for a fact? No. Do we know if DeSantis was invited but then declined? Perhaps. We don't know the real story. But what's frustrating me, and I'm sure what's frustrating a lot of you at home, is that the media continues to not only divide us here in the United States, but they're dividing the Republican Party. And they're doing it with headlines that suggest President Trump snubbed DeSantis. And we don't know if that's the case. Fox News reported it as a snub. Politico reported it as a snub. So Trump will hold a rally with Rubio on November 6th, but not DeSantis. Okay. Now that's okay. We don't know the full picture. We don't know exactly why. We don't know if DeSantis is busy. He might not have another engagement. DeSantis might even have politely declined to get involved in this rally. Maybe DeSantis doesn't want to overshadow Rubio. Maybe DeSantis and Trump have in fact spoken, and they both agreed as gentlemen to say, you know what, Ron, I think it's a good idea that maybe we just focus on Rubio, or maybe DeSantis told Trump this. But you've got sites like Politico and even Fox News, which really frustrated me when I looked at the headlines this morning. Fox News said, is suggesting that Trump snubbed DeSantis. We don't know if that actually happened. Well, we posted it on Patriot One News, and of course, our audience, you all, went berserk over it, understandably suggesting that the media is trying to cause division within the GOP. So what's going on here? How do we get to the bottom of this? Well, former President Donald Trump, as we said, is going to Miami just 2 days before the election. Trump on Wednesday, just yesterday, confirmed, it's 100% confirmed, he is holding a rally for Senator Marco Rubio on the 6th. DeSantis was left off the announcement. This is according to Politico. DeSantis was left off the announcement, and an advisor to the former president did say the Florida governor is not attending. Okay, so we have confirmation there. An advisor to Trump did say DeSantis is not attending. So this is not speculation. I know a lot of people are sitting there thinking, well, we don't know that yet. Fake news. Well, it is confirmed. Okay, an aide to Trump said DeSantis will not be attending. Didn't say why. That's all they said. DeSantis won't be attending. And this is where I start to get frustrated. Politico's calling it an apparent snub. Okay, we don't know that it was a snub. It did anger a lot of DeSantis's orbit. And this is what's happening. We don't know why, but DeSantis's orbit is in an uproar over this because of how the media has worded it, how the media has portrayed the situation to you and I at home trying to make sense of it all. It's not just CNN anymore. Fox News is responsible now. Fox News has really been frustrating me these days. We know Fox News is controlled opposition. They have good moments. They have bad moments. I go to Fox for a lot of my news, but more times out of none, they do come across as controlled opposition. And what they're doing right now by headlining their articles that Trump's snubbing DeSantis, it's causing further division that we do not need in the Republican Party. It's already hard enough. We already have CNN, the Democrats, and every single other left-wing media outlet in the country going up against us. We don't need our own media outlets doing the same thing, which is exactly what Fox News did this morning. So Politico was calling it an apparent snub. Understandably, it's infuriating DeSantis supporters who complained that the Florida governor team was not informed of the rally prior to Trump announcing it. So apparently, according to the media, DeSantis's team had no idea this rally was even going to happen. So they're like, wait, what the hell's going on? Trump's coming down to Florida. Now, if that is the case, it makes me a bit upset with Trump's team, because let's be honest, we've got a lot going on in Florida leading up to this midterm election, November 8th. And the communication between these two teams, Team Trump and Team DeSantis, needs to be flawless, meticulous, in order for us to pull off a big win across all Republican candidates in Florida, but also so that we don't take any attention away from what DeSantis is trying to do with his own campaign. Now, yes, we know polls say double digits ahead of Charlie Crist, but it's not over until it's over. As we know, polls lie. There's a margin of error depending on what poll you're looking at. There's some ridiculous polls out there who are even suggesting that Charlie Crist is up. What poll on planet Earth would suggest that Crist is in the lead is beyond me. This is just stupidity. Crist actually lost points against DeSantis. DeSantis was only up against Charlie Crist by 7 points going into the debate just a few days ago. DeSantis is now up by double digits. Rubio is up, and according to many polls, by double digits. But we do need all hands on deck down in Florida to make sure it stays that way. So I don't think it was an intentional. They do say that Trump's got like a 4-day city-to-city rally leading up to November 6th or November 6th in the middle of it. I'm not sure where it falls within this 4-day rally. Trump's got a lot on his mind. He's trying to decide whether he's going to run for president. He's trying to back every single Republican politician who's begging him for help. And not just Florida. We have Arizona he just had. We have races all over this country where everybody's like, Trump, help, help, help. The guy can only do so much. He's dealing with these fake insurrection hearings. He's dealing with the FBI and their political ridiculous stunt. He's dealing with lawsuits out of freaking New York. And he's trying to help everybody who wants his attention. So do I think it was intentional? that Trump left DeSantis off? No, absolutely not. I don't think so at all. I don't think so. And because we don't have the answers, we're all getting each other riled up. We're getting each other on edge just days before the election. And this is not what we need right now. The timing of the Trump and Rubio event means any campaign event DeSantis holds that day won't get as much attention, Politico's saying. And I agree with that. It won't get as much attention during the very important final stretch of the 2022 midterms. But listen, Trump's got to do what Trump's got to do. If he's being called in to rally the troops in Florida and the only day available to him is November 6th, and he really wants to make a big push for Marco Rubio, then that's what Trump's going to do. Again, how big of a push do we really need for DeSantis from Trump? I was reading through some comments on my Patriot One News page this morning, and a lot of you guys who dropped comments on that post had very, very good logical reasons behind why Trump and DeSantis either agreed or Trump decided not to have DeSantis at the rally. Very good logical explanations. And one of them was DeSantis could stand on his own two feet. He doesn't need the endorsement. And it's not a dig against Trump. It's not saying that DeSantis thinks he's better than Trump's endorsement. It's just all they're suggesting, some fans of the page, is that I just don't think it's necessary. We don't think it's necessary that Trump puts his weight behind DeSantis right now in the final stretch when there are so many other candidates out there who need that endorsement so much more than Governor Ron DeSantis. So the media has caused an uproar. An advisor for Trump disputed, and this is nice to hear, disputed any conflict between the former president and DeSantis, who could be Trump's potential 2024 rival for the GOP presidential nomination if both men were to run for the White House. And we have to kind of look back here, regardless of what the media says about these two. I know the media wants to get us all jazzed up and all freaking at each other's throats, but I have not seen or heard of a single incident where Trump or DeSantis have gone at each other's throats. I haven't seen it. It doesn't exist. So when an advisor for Trump says, listen, there's no conflict here, I believe that. I do believe that. I just think these two are doing their own thing. Trump's Florida rally, the advisor said, is part of a 4-city tour that the former president is making ahead of the November 8th election. This is an event President Trump is holding as part of a series of stops he is making for Republican Senate candidates, the Trump advisor said. It came after he and Senator Rubio spoke directly. Trump spokesman Taylor Budowich did not return a request seeking comment. I think they're too busy right now. And then, of course, Politico goes on to suggest that Trump and DeSantis are in a cold war of sorts. They're not in a cold war. What have we read or heard in the political spectrum that even remotely suggests that Trump and DeSantis are at a cold war? I haven't heard anything. This is Politico stirring the pot once again. Politico says there's been signs that the relationship is strained. I haven't seen anything. Have you guys seen anything? I haven't heard of anything. Including DeSantis declining to ask for the former president's endorsement. That means nothing. Again, it doesn't mean that DeSantis doesn't want it. It just means DeSantis is busy right now doing his own thing, and he doesn't really care to get too involved with all of the drama that the media wants to overanalyze in regards to every single little move that either Trump or DeSantis makes. And I love DeSantis for this. I really do. I think it's great. I like how DeSantis sticks to himself. DeSantis has always focused on moving forward. Moving forward. He doesn't get caught up in the media hype. It's not his style. He hates it. He hates the negativity. And he's been like that all the way through COVID, which is why I think DeSantis is going to make a phenomenal president one day. A lot of people suggest, let's give Trump another 4 years. Let DeSantis do some more for Florida over those 4 years. And then let's pull DeSantis in 2008. And then we get 8 years of sanity, 8 years of keeping America great. Somebody said it this morning on my page. It was such a great comment. 8 years of protecting the Constitution, which is what the president and every single candidate elected into office took an oath to do. 8 years of defending the United States Constitution. Megyn Kelly the other day, I think what she said on the Rubin Report, if you didn't see it, I'm going to play you the clip right now. I think what she said on the Rubin Report was great. It was fantastic. She discussed what she thought about DeSantis going up against Trump. And I have to say, I agree with it. I really do. I think everything you're about to hear right now, she was spot on. It was a really good kind of synopsis of how she feels in regards to Trump and DeSantis. Let's have a listen.
What do you want to happen with the Trump-DeSantis thing?
Well, I just don't think anybody else could win if Trump runs. So, and I don't know.
You think if they got on a stage, you don't think that DeSantis is crafty enough or the record stands enough to, really?
Interesting. No. I don't even think that a little. I think Trump sucks up all the energy in every room, no matter what. And even someone skilled as a politician and smart policy-wise as DeSantis can't overcome that. He can't. The only way DeSantis is going to become the Republican nominee is if Trump chooses not to run and endorses him or dies. Like, I just don't see a world in which Trump says, I want it. Let's say he says, I want it, and DeSantis beats him fair and square in the primary. You really think the hardcore MAGA is going to abandon Trump for DeSantis? They're not. I talk to them all the time. I take calls from them on my radio show, and they won't. They like DeSantis, but they don't think it's his turn. They think Trump was screwed out of his last election, that he was screwed out of his first term by all the craziness, the Russiagate and so on. And they think he is entitled. He deserves another shot at it. And so unless Trump gracefully and graciously says, get behind DeSantis, I wouldn't put any chips on DeSantis at all.
I have to say, guys, I agree with Megyn Kelly in this instance. I really do. I think, and she was very diplomatic about it. She wasn't rude about it. She wasn't slamming either Trump or DeSantis. She was giving them both their credit where their credit's due. But I agree with her. I think there's too many people out there who want to give Trump that second chance or that third chance, however you look at it. There's just too many of us who want to see Trump finish his work. They want to see him take out the swamp. They want to see him take out corruption. And if we take a look at the polls, there's too many polls out there who suggest that the majority of Republicans, at least, want to see President Trump become the 2024 candidate. Presidential straw poll at Turning Point USA Student Action Summit found that 78.7% of attendees favor Trump to be the Republican nominee in 2024. 75%. We're not talking 30, 40, 50, 60. We're talking about three quarters of the entire Republican Party want Trump to have another go. Another straw poll at the CPAC event in August found that Trump had 70% support from attendees to run in 24. DeSantis came in with just 24% support. Now, I don't like to say he came in with just. Listen, that's a lot for a runner-up. That, to me, says you take Trump out of the equation, it's DeSantis's to lose. I mean, DeSantis has it in the bag. But as of right now, while Trump is still in the picture, the majority of Republicans absolutely want Trump to run. So I don't think it's worth looking into why Governor DeSantis might not be at the rally. I don't think there's much going on. I think we need to stay together, stop worrying about what the media is trying to do, and just let those guys do their thing as we head into the midterm elections. Stay tuned, guys. We'll get into Herschel Walker right after these messages.
Are you worried about the effects that higher inflation rates will have on your investments? Are you trying to secure your retirement savings against losses, but you notice that inflation is a hot topic these days? But how dangerous are low inflation rates on your retirement savings? An inflation rate of 2% may not seem like much, but it means that prices will just about quintuple over the lifetime of the average American. And 4% average inflation rate means that something that costs $1 when they're born will cost $23 when they die. That demonstrates the danger of even low inflation rates. So when it comes to gold and inflation rates, many investors want to know whether inflation rates have an effect on gold prices. What history indicates is that over the long term, increased inflation should lead to correspondingly higher gold prices. From September 1971 to August 2020, gold grew 7.5 times as much as inflation. Not only can an investment in physical gold help protect your assets against the damage done by inflation, it can also help grow the value of your retirement portfolio over the long term. If you're looking to protect your retirement assets, why wait until stock markets crash and gold begins to rise in price?
So we spent the first segment of the show talking a lot about the situation between Donald Trump and Governor Ron DeSantis. Before we get into Herschel Walker, and what an amazing candidate and gentleman I think this guy is, and how good for Georgia I think he's going to be, I want to just touch on something that the mainstream media hasn't really gone into. And it's really upsetting that we're not talking more about it, at least the MSM, at least a lot of the left-wing outlets. And it has to do with an incident down in Florida. It has to do with a campaign volunteer being brutally attacked. One of Marco Rubio's campaign volunteers was brutally attacked in a political violence incident. All I hear out of the left is how dangerous Republicans are, how extreme we act. I hear insurrection this, violence that. Yet every single time there is a violent situation out of the left, a politically motivated attack, it's crickets. We don't hear anything about it, which is why I do my best to scream about it from the rooftops, because we have to get it out there. We have to let the left know this is not just happening within the Republican Party. These are politically motivated attacks. Republicans are being not only brutally beaten, but we're being killed. Just a few months ago, a couple months ago, if you guys remember, there was a situation where a man mowed down an 18-year-old because he was a Republican. And he said it. He told the police officers. He said, I ran him over. He was, I don't know if he was drunk. I don't know what got into this man, but he ran him over. He hit him with his car and the 18-year-old died. And it was all because of his right-wing extremist views. Well, a similar situation just happened. Rubio campaign volunteer was brutally attacked in political violence incident. We have this guy brutally beaten. I mean, you can see how messed up he is here. The tolerant left appear to be at it again, only this time they turned to violence in what is deemed a political tact against a Republican Senator Marco Rubio. One of the campaign volunteers was brutally attacked by four people who told this volunteer, Republicans aren't allowed in this neighborhood. So there's no disputing whether this was a political attack. These four people who who beat this campaign volunteer. I mean, how sick is politics right now, where you can't even go door knocking as a Republican without worrying that the tolerant left isn't going to beat you to death? Last night, one of our canvassers wearing my T-shirt, this is coming from Rubio, he tweeted this. He said, last night, one of our canvassers wearing my T-shirt and a DeSantis hat was brutally attacked by four animals who told him Republicans weren't allowed in their neighborhood. Look at this. Twitter is actually blocked out for those of you who are actually watching, not listening. But if you're watching, you can see here, Twitter, it's too violent to even show you. Well, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at how disgusting this is. Here are some pictures here. If we kind of open this up and we'll take a look. It's the guy was just bludgeoned almost to death. And here we have the Democrats saying absolutely nothing about it. Why are we allowing this in this country? We know double standards exist. We know rules for thee, but not for me exist. Why are Republicans allowing this? I've been screaming at them since the pandemic. Churches were shut down. Why did Republicans allow that? Schools were shut down. Why did we allow it? We can't just sit here and wave the finger at Democrats and say, hey, you're to blame. Well, hold on a second. The Republicans are allowing it, at least the majority. Who's not allowing it? Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Lauren Boebert out of Colorado. The only ones who don't allow this nonsense, Ron DeSantis, are conservative Republicans. You won't hear a damn word out of Mitt Romney or any other moderate, borderline rhino about any of this. And it's because those Republicans are so scared to death to take a far right hard stance, which is what they should be doing. And that is why these incidences continue to happen. This is why the tolerant left keep getting away with violence. Where were the Republicans during the Antifa riots, the BLM riots? Where are they right now during these brutal attacks? Why aren't they screaming about this, asking the media, why aren't you showing this to the Democrats? Why aren't you showing this on the media? The incident came after President Joe Biden decreed mega MAGA Republicans. Why aren't we slamming Joe Biden or holding him responsible for the attacks? All I keep hearing is Donald Trump, an insurrectionist. Donald Trump never made one single freaking reference ever instigating violence. He said peaceful and politically marched to the Capitol. I was there that day. I was at the rally. I heard it with my own ears. And we marched peacefully and politically or patriotically to the Capitol. The violence, the riot, it already happened by the time I even showed up to the steps. It was pretty much done with. It was already done. So Trump didn't instigate anything, yet Joe Biden is constantly running his mouth, causing division in this country, to the point now where he's almost giving these far left radicals his blessing to go take out Republicans. And we're seeing it. It's all started to get a lot more aggressive since Biden had that ridiculous and utterly divisive speech there in Philadelphia that night, where he was up there sounding like a madman, sounding like Adolf Hitler, railing his troops with the military behind him, trying to put on a power flex or a power grab that failed miserably. Okay, I get it. We called him out. But we can't stop there. We need to call Joe Biden out on these attacks. GOP Chair Ronna McDaniel seems to be the only one who said anything. She said in early September, she called out Biden for his divisiveness and attack on voters. The GOP chairwoman said Joe Biden's wretched attacks on millions of Americans have fueled attacks on pregnancy centers, Republican offices, and an assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice, if you guys remember that, Kavanaugh. Yet nothing out of the Democrats, nothing out of the moderate Republicans slash rhinos. It can't just be a few Republicans screaming that the Democrats are making them out to be far-right extremists. McDaniel said his agenda has pitted neighbors against each other, rewarded the wealthy while pushing working families and trampled on the rights and freedoms of Americans. Ronna McDaniel can't be the only one calling Joe Biden divisive. We need more Republicans to step in there and back her up. Marjorie Taylor Greene can't be the only one pointing her finger at the left. We need the entire GOP to say, we're done with this. Enough. You do it again, we're taking you to court. We're suing the pants off of you. And we are going to charge you for inciting violence. You for instigating the murder upon these Republicans who are getting killed in these very extreme attacks. When do we impeach Joe Biden for causing division in America, for potentially starting our next civil war? When does Joe Biden get called in to Congress? But he won't, because there's not enough of Republicans demanding that the left do it, that we sanction him, that we censor him. Fox News in early October reported an uptick in several instances of political violence following Biden's warning that supporters of former President Trump pose threats to the country. All we hear is threats about Trumpers, threats about Trump, but we never address anything that Biden has done. We've seen him do. He has said some pretty heinous stuff. We know he's a racist. He says racist things, yet Trump's the racist with no evidence of it. Joe Biden has 47 years of racist remarks. It's right there for us to see. It's right there for our Democrat friends to see. Yet we let him get away with it. This is the second politically motivated attack that has made nationwide headlines since Biden's hate-fueled speech he gave that day in Philadelphia. I just spoke about the other extreme situation. Shannon Brandt's his name, a 41-year-old. Shannon Brandt killed 18-year-old Kaylor Ellingson in September in McHenry with an SUV in an alley. He is charged with vehicular homicide. He ran the guy over and leaving the scene of a deadly accident. So here's the situation. According to multiple sources, court documents said he told a 911 dispatcher the teen was part of a Republican extremist group and was calling people to go after him following an unspecified political argument. So the dude ran him over because he's part of a Republican extremist group. It doesn't matter. We can be part of whatever group we want to be. It does not give you the right to go run over somebody you don't agree with. But he did. This 18-year-old called his mom and said, "Mom, I'm in trouble. This guy he's going to kill me because I'm a right-wing extremist." Mom said, "Where are you? I'll be right there." The mom got there too late. This 41-year-old Shannon Brandt already ran him over. Why hasn't been plastered all over the damn media? Yet we see these George Floyd cases these cases of these murderers, these or whatever we want to call them, just people who have held knives to pregnant women, people who are just wrong for society, who have committed crime after crime after crime, yet they're the martyrs on the left. George Floyd, a freaking martyr. But when it happens on the right, nothing. It blows my mind. It's very hypocritical. And both sides, Democrats and Republicans, are responsible for not calling each other out on this. And something needs to be done. Stay tuned, guys. When we come back, we are going to take a look at Herschel Walker. Herschel has just been a breath of fresh air. We'll look at his campaign and where he stands right after we come back from these messages. Stay tuned.
President Joe Biden's approval rating slipping sharply into negative territory in the third quarter.
The president's approval rating is slipping to a record low, with the midterms now a year away.
It has been a rough 24 hours for President Biden. Yesterday, the Supreme Court blocked his vaccine mandate for large businesses, and two senators from his own party dealt a blow to his efforts to pass voting rights legislation.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
We are now being told that the Taliban is inside Kabul. The Taliban has confirmed that they will be taking charge of the city in the next 2 hours.
We now know that all the U.S. diplomats that were at the embassy in Kabul have been taken to the airport in Kabul.
Topping our world lead right now, U.S. troops are heading to Afghanistan for an urgent rescue mission.
Joe Biden promised he would shut down the coronavirus. He failed. And in fact, in 2020, during a presidential debate, he did say, I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon.
Why are you trying so hard in your first year to pull the country so far to the left?
Well, I'm not. I don't know what you consider to be too far to the left.
I've always said this, Brett. If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no.
You know, before any speech I ever make, I always give glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he said if you don't acknowledge him, he's not going to acknowledge you. And I want to thank Senator Graham and all our elected officials that are here today, and also acknowledge my wife, Julie, because she's in this fight with me. And I want to say, what a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I heard about the story with the truth. Y'all saw that debate. He said he was going to beat me, didn't he? So we know where the truth lies, don't we? Because I tell you this right here, the Lord prepared me for a moment like this, because he knew I had to go up against somebody that was tough. I had to go up against that wolf in sheep's clothing, that sometimes he's a minister and other times he's a senator. So I had to go up against him. So what he did to me, and say God is a good God, but sometimes he's tricky. Because what he did is I started out in this little town called Wrightsville. And I tell everyone, yes, if you got 1 year to live, tell them you move there, because that year is forever. Same old, same old. And my mom told me I was big bone. Y'all know what that meant, that I was fat. And I used to have that speech impediment where I couldn't put a sentence together. So I couldn't speak, and I stayed in my classroom, never went out for a recess for 4 years of my life. I used to get beat up. I was afraid of everything, but God had a plan.
I love listening to Herschel Walker talk, and I really want to kind of touch on here before we wrap up the show, why Herschel Walker is doing so well as he enters the home stretch of his race down in Georgia. And I like to pin it on keeping things simple. And I think that's what we've lost here in America. I think our government, our officials that we elect to office, that we send to Washington, they forget to be simple. And when you listen to Herschel Walker talk, he just kind of talks to you like your neighbor. And this is what we're missing here in D.C. We're missing candidates who go to Washington to represent us, the people. We've seen it time and time again where we elect these officials. They go there, they forget who they were supposed to represent. No longer are they working for us, we the people. They're now working for the establishment, the globalists, the elitists. And we see them get very wealthy, very rich. Nancy Pelosi, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, Barack Obama didn't have a pot to piss in before he went into office. He becomes the president. Now he's worth tens of millions of dollars. They forget to keep things simple. They get caught up in the complexity that comes with Washington. A lot of people compare Herschel Walker to John Fetterman, and it's not even close. I mean, you can't do that. The Democrats are saying, well, Herschel Walker's not any better. Herschel Walker's just as slow as Fetterman. Herschel Walker's not slow. Herschel Walker's calm. He's collected. He doesn't want to use big fancy words in Washington. Herschel Walker just wants to keep things simple and chill, and he wants to remind us that God is driving or steering the ship here. And when you listen to Herschel Walker talk, it's God this, God gave me the power, God did this. It's not BS. I believe Herschel Walker. I believe him when he talks about keeping the faith. Senator Warnock is a minister, and he just reeks of BS. He puts on a show. I've seen videos where his wife is literally, or ex-wife, is literally crying of how abusive this man is. Allegedly, he ran over her foot trying to get out of the driveway after an argument one time. So the Democrats are comparing Herschel Walker, trying to make Herschel Walker sound as bad as Fetterman. First of all, Fetterman had a stroke. Okay, the guy is in rapid cognitive decline. He can't think for himself. And they're saying, well, Herschel Walker is just as horrible with his speech. Well, no, he's just keeping things simple. At least Herschel Walker can actually speak. So taking a look at some of these comments were very interesting to see here. A lot of people are backing up kind of what I'm saying here. Great choice. Plain talk. Black conservatives threaten the grip of Dems have on our country. And I want to touch base on this comment for a second, because it's very important to understand that the Democrats only like black people if you vote for Democrat. Democrats only care about the Hispanic community if you vote Democrat. The second a Republican Latino like Myra Flores down in Texas comes along, oh, all bets out the window. We despise her. We hate her. She's not a real American. Well, wait a second. What about AOC? AOC's Hispanic. You're calling her not a real American? Oh, no, because AOC will do exactly what you tell her to do. But now we have a Republican Latina down in Texas like Myra Flores. And now all of a sudden they hate and despise what Flores represents. They hate and despise what Herschel Walker represents. No longer are they for the black community. They're only for the black community when they need their votes. And they've proven it time and time again. They're disgusting to the opposition. So it's not about black or Latina. It's about being Democrat, or we will rage political war against you. And we will not stop. And that's what they're doing to the Hispanics, the Republican Hispanics, the black GOP members. Like Herschel Walker. Sandy said, time for change. I love this guy. Vote for him is a vote to save our country. And that is the point I'm trying to make. I can't vote for Herschel Walker because I'm not down in Georgia. I'm up here in New York. But Georgia, vote for Walker, because a vote for Walker is a vote to save the United States. That's what it's about. I don't care if he's not the most polished, well-spoken politician. As a matter of fact, I despise those very career politicians. Those are the very people that I don't want in office, that we're sick of. We spoke yesterday on the show about what's going on in Alaska. Lisa Murkowski, career Republican, career politician, 20 years of voting with Joe Biden, voting with Democrats, endorsing Democrats. Now you have this conservative, America First, Trump endorsed Kelly Shibaka coming in saying, listen, we got to get back to basics. We got to get back to America First. And what does Mitch McConnell do? He says, nope, because I don't trust you conservative Republicans. I don't trust that you're going to keep me as the Senate majority leader if we take back the Senate. So therefore, I'm going to go around and I'm going to put the money, I'm going to kind of steal from you Republicans, and I'm going to put it towards establishment type candidates that are going to continue to support my agenda. That's what's going on in Alaska. Alaska GOP is furious with Mitch McConnell. They're censoring him because of it. Herschel Walker won't take Mitch McConnell's BS. Herschel Walker won't take Nancy Pelosi's BS. He's another America First conservative who is part of that Marjorie Taylor Greene team, part of the Jim Jordans, the Ron DeSantis, the Josh Hawleys, the Lauren Boeberts, the loud, I call it the loud majority. We used to be the silent majority. We're loud now. And we're loud because we got to get this country back on track. So, yes, Herschel Walker is exactly what we should be putting or sending to Washington. Democrats have had their shot for the last 22 months. And look at what they've done to this country. Vote red on November 8th. Pamela said, absolutely. Now, here's what's ridiculous. You have some Democrats suggesting that Herschel Walker is in it for the money. Herschel Walker is worth $73 million. I can promise you, Democrats, Herschel Walker is not in it for the money. The Senate salary is only $174,000. Why would Herschel Walker, who's worth $73 million, give a crap about $174,000 salary? It's exactly what we saw with Trump. Trump's a freaking billionaire. Trump didn't do it for the money. The guy gave up his salary, for Christ's sake. Some people just want to go to Washington, believe it or not to fatten their bank accounts. Some people like Herschel Walker and these die-hard conservatives like Kelly Shibaka out in Alaska just want to get to Washington so they can fix this country, so they can put it back where Donald Trump left it. John said, if you're happy with blue team, go ahead and vote for the other guy. High inflation, an FBI that works for Biden, and attacks on the red candidates. SOS with Warnock. Listen to what his wife said, what I was just talking about. Warnock's wife. Apparently, Warnock ran over her foot in a raged argument before he fled the house one day. And I agree with this comment. Nora said, stop hating rich people. They did something for themselves and their families. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and take responsibility. This is something that I touched on yesterday during the show. John Fetterman's only argument against Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania is, hey, do we really want a rich outsider leading or representing Pennsylvania? He has mansions and he has this and he doesn't know what the real working class want. Since when do we shame wealthy people in America? We're going down a very dangerous path. And I've spoke about this many times before. This is what you see in countries like China. I know. I lived there for 10 years. I saw the wealthy work for their money, I saw the separation between the wealthy and the poor right before my eyes. And what happened? The poor got so jealous of the wealthy that they launched an all-out attack on them. They did everything they could to destroy their career progression. And we're seeing that now here in the States. The jealousy, the envy between the working class and the wealthy. I've never seen anything like it. We used to admire the wealthy. We used to look up to those who actually got their piece of the American dream. And it all stopped around the Obama years, when Obama created such division between the working class and the rich that the working class no longer wanted to even be rich. They just wanted to shame the wealthy. Then the excuses came. Oh, well, I'm never going to be rich, so I'm just going to vote for anything that penalizes wealthy people, because I would rather hate on you than actually work for my money. Trump came along, reminded us what the American dream looks like, reminded us that the economy can be good if we just work for it. And then Biden, in an instant, destroyed the whole momentum that Trump spent 4 years building. And now we have a situation where the working class despise and hate the very hand that feeds them, by the way. You know, they despise these wealthy entrepreneurs who employ thousands of employees. Somebody's got to pay their paycheck, but they don't stop to think, wait a second, I'm actually biting the hand that feeds me, because they're so deranged right now. Their blinders on. They're just following Biden down this cult of insanity. And don't stop to think, wait a second, why am I following this guy? What has he really done for me? What has he really done for America? He says he's going to do a lot. He says he's going to forgive my $10,000 student federal loan, which, by the way, Biden has absolutely zero authority to do. And not only has it been stopped by Supreme Court judges across six Republican states, but Nancy Pelosi herself said Joe Biden has absolutely zero authority to do this. Now, I know how he's done it, and we'll talk about that in a different show. I'll show you how sneaky Biden is and how he's using a very old post-911 military grant, hijacked it, trying to manipulate it legally to make it fit this student relief package. It won't fly, but Biden's sneaky, and he's certainly trying. So I think it's great what Herschel's doing. I think it's great that he's simple, that he leaves the complexity out of his speeches, that he's going to Washington to just say, hey, listen, chill. I'm here to represent Georgia, and I'm going to ask them what they want, and then we're going to simply vote on policy based on what my people want. And it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be any more complex. And that's what I love about Herschel Walker. Before we wrap up the show, I do want to tell you something that's a little bit concerning to me. We already have the excuses started out of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Secretary of State already making excuses for delays in counting midterm votes. We reported on this yesterday. All of these stories that you guys see today, go to patriotonenews.com. You could see all the stories that we're reporting on. Already, the acting Pennsylvania Secretary of State is making excuses, saying, hey, by the way, don't be pissed off if there's going to be delays with our mail-in ballots, with counting them. And I'm thinking, we're 2 years into this situation. Why doesn't Pennsylvania have their act together? Pennsylvania is a battleground state. That is a state we need to know election results with immediately. Pennsylvania, Arizona, Ohio, Nevada. These are going to be very close, tight races to decide who takes the Senate in just a couple weeks. And we do not want this dragging on. The longer these election mail-in ballot counting drags on, the more fraud we are going to encounter. So Pennsylvania is already saying, hey, by the way, we're already screwed. We can't keep up with counting. Why we're still doing this counting thing is ridiculous. We need to get back to the days of go to the freaking polling station or the voting station on the day, tick the box, run your thing through the scanner, done. It's tallied immediately. But now we've got ballots being lost, ballots being caught in car fires. The excuses are already starting. On Monday, the Pennsylvania Acting Secretary of State Lee Chapman revealed that there will likely be delays in posting the results from the state's midterm elections. Chapman detailed in a virtual news conference how the state would be handling vote counting in the upcoming election and said that it would likely take several days. It would likely take several days to count all the ballots and certify the vote. Several days now. We're not going to know the results on the 8th because Pennsylvania is going to be one of those states that decides the Senate. We're still weeks away from November 8th, and Pennsylvania is already making excuses because for some reason, nearly 2 years later, they still can't get their act together. Totally unacceptable for a battleground state like Pennsylvania when the stakes are this high. And it only instigates serious mistrust in the electoral system, especially after what happened in 2020. It's really important for us to get accurate information, Chapman said, about the election process in Pennsylvania, so voters and the public know that there are delays. She's saying, so voters and the public know that when there are delays in counting, it doesn't mean that there's anything nefarious happening. I know you'd like to think that, but we all know what really goes on as we delay the process more and more. It's just what the law is in Pennsylvania. No, it's not the law in Pennsylvania. The law in Pennsylvania, first of all, is in response to these COVID emergencies, which are done. Change the damn law back. Get rid of the freaking law. Change it back to walking to the voting station in person. Chapman said that the potential for delays is due to poll workers not being able to pre-canvass. You've had 2 years to get it together, 2 years to figure this out. So she's already making excuses saying that poll workers are not being able to pre-canvass or count mail-in ballots before election day. Why not? Well, why didn't you load up on poll workers? You guys got the budget. Why didn't you load up on pre-canvass employees? They've had 2 years to get organized. Two races being very closely watched in the state of Pennsylvania are for governor, with Republican Doug Mastriano and Democrat Josh Shapiro vying for that position in the race for Senate. And they can't get it together to have these votes counted on time. We head over to another incident, mail truck. Look at this freaking disaster of a situation. Mail truck most likely carrying absentee ballots in Georgia destroyed in fire. Why do these disastrous situations only happen in key battleground states? You never hear about this stuff happening in California or New York, landslide victory. It's never close in those states, so we're not going to have any issues, are we? But when it comes to these battleground states, these toss-up states, all of a sudden, there's issues, and a lot of issues. Watch how I'm warning you guys right now. Watch how many issues we see in the battleground states. We saw it in the primary. Remember Dr. Oz, Pennsylvania? It took him forever to freaking count the ballots. It took him forever to figure it out. So not only has Pennsylvania had 2 years, but they've now had several months before the last primary in November to get their act together. Yet they can't. The acting secretary can't figure out how to hire more poll workers so that we don't have to have a several day delay counting in a very key battleground state. This just makes my skin, my blood boil, my skin crawl that we can't figure this out. This isn't the 15th century. This is 2022 now. If American Idol could count 10 million votes within 5.5 seconds during a commercial break, why can't we get our act together? So here's a mail truck that just burst up into flames. Ballots inside Georgia. Baker County Sheriff's Office shared pictures on Facebook of the Jeep. And first of all, since when do we transport ballots in a soft top Jeep? The Jeep engulfed in flames in a rural area near Tarva Road, 10 miles southwest of Albany. The sheriff's office said the delivery driver was not injured, but the car is a total loss along with all the mail inside, including a potential 43 outstanding ballots. He said, we're working with the USPS to see if they have images of what might have been on the truck so we can reissue them. Worst comes to worst, we'll reissue the 43 ballots, or the county will reissue the 43 ballots, and first across the line for those voters will be the ballots that are accepted. Why do we have to even have these issues? Again, this is what happens. When we talk about fraud, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about people intentionally committing fraud, although it might happen. We're talking about the margin for error. The more we allow the mail-in voting to continue. This was a COVID situation. Why are we still going through it? There's no pandemic. It needs to end. People need to get back to the polls where we can trust that things are going to be maintained in a very safe and secure manner. It's very simple. Get rid of the damn mail-in ballot voting. Be done with it. Go back to sick only, military out of country only. We don't need this mail-in situation complicating our very important elections anymore. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.